Ask the Podcast Coach for February 15th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, there we go. You know you want to get up and dance. It's okay. We won't tell anyone. You have joined Ask the Podcast Coach. That would be me, Dave Jackson. This is where we talk about all things podcast. We answer your podcasting questions. You can call in. It's 888-563-3228. Or if you want to get online, you can dial the local number is 440-253-9922. Open phone lines now. And of course, joining me every Saturday is the one, the only, don't be fooled by cheap imitations, from theaverageguy.tv, Jim Collison. Jim, thanks for coming along, buddy.
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Good to be with you.
It is Saturday, and here in Ohio, we're having a heat wave. They say it's going to be 40 next week.
I know. It's sick, isn't it?
It's sick.
Like, when you start thinking 40 is great,
yeah,
it's been a bad winter.
I used to love these things when I was a kid, but the other day I was pumping gas, and I really thought if I like hit my hand just the right way, it would have just shattered into a million pieces.
Yeah, it's been really cold here too, for sure.
And I was like, you know, gloves are a good thing. Oh, hey, just to prove we're human, I hit start on every single thing except my recorder. There we go.
Except your recorder. You have to go back and splice it
in, or do
you
want to start over? Splicing that. Yeah, let's do it again. That's the button. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Well, we got a lot of new things going on with lots of software. I know right now we are at, of course, you can always find us schoolofpodcasting.com/live. And we use Mixlr to stream the show live. We're also on Spreaker, which is amazing because people are still listening over there, even though we say, yeah, we're not really there. I mean, really, the place to be is schoolofpodcasting.com/live, which will take you to Mixlr. And they have a new beta interface today for the live show. And which is kind of weird because the chat, where you actually type the chat now, is at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I'm digging that.
I mean, either. And we lost all the space we used to have with it. Let me see if there's a – well, there is a up arrow at the top of it, which makes it a little bit bigger now. But it's there's not as much space as there was before.
Yeah. And I mean, so, I can see who's here. I can see Mike's here. And I think, right? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, but oh, I mean, yeah, I know Ryan is here, but yet he's not showing up on the right-hand side of the screen.
That is a nice feature in the new updated beta in the sense that you can see who is in chat in one. You know, when we moved to Chatwing, we lost that over at theaverageguy.tv. We lost that capability. Livestream always had a tab where you could see everybody who was logged into chat, which is really helpful. It kind of gives you, as a host, an idea who's out there, and if somebody's stalking you, you can kind of call them out, you know, in the chat room, which is nice. So if you click on that tab now, there's at the very top, there's a kind of a hamburger icon, and it'll have some editing in. And if you click on that, it'll show you everybody. So Rich and Mike and Darren and John and Kathy are all out with us. That sounded like romper room there for a second. All out there with us. Welcome, guys. Kathy, I never did hook back up with you. We were going to chat about the broadcast server concept, and we just never made that happen. So send me an email if you're still interested in talking about that.
There you go. And I'm letting everybody know that we are live on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm logged into Spreaker as well, so that's – I'll drop a link in the chat there just in case anybody shows up. We seem to get a little better at this each week, Dave.
We do. Well, we're going to play – I've been playing with tools all morning today, and I thought I would share these with you and get your opinion on what they sounded like. Without telling you how I recorded this.
Yeah, no, this is live, unrehearsed.
Yes, this is Jim has not heard this. All right, here we go. Rumble Talk, before we do that, I see Kathy chatted about the chat. So she was saying Rumble Talk. Rumble Talk is cool. It's not free, though. And Chatwing is.
Chatwing's free and really good for free.
Yeah.
And if you want to upgrade, they've got several. You can buy these coins that you use for various things that you might want. But, you know, everything works well for me for free. And they've been super responsive to me via email. So anytime I've had a problem, I send them an email. They get right back to me. So I'm a kind of a converted Chatwing guy.
There you go. All right. Are you ready? Let me know. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure. Let's see. I got to turn back this back up. All right. Here we go. We have two tests. Here we go. Okay, Jim, this is a test I'm doing for Ask the Podcast Coach, and this may be a solution for anyone who is sight impaired. Let me pause. I'm going to plug in a new microphone to test out.
All right, so I plugged in the new microphone, not knowing that when I plug in a new microphone, it stopped the recording. So that was lesson number one. And here is microphone number two.
All right, Jim, and this is part two of my test, and I'm using a standard Apple earbud set. So, yes, I'm recording this using the Auphonic app on my phone, so you can hear this. Now, there's no volume control that I can see of, and I can see I'm pretty loud at times, but that's because I'm a big mouth. But what's interesting is I can set up Auphonic to add noise reduction, leveling, and it can convert the file to an MP3 file, stereo or mono, and then post it to SoundCloud, Libsyn, and many other options. So this is what it sounds like.
So there you go. Yeah, that was recorded with a phone.
Yeah, I had a trouble telling the difference between them. I mean, you're right. One was a little louder than the other.
Yeah.
But
The headset is a little tintier, and you get that noise of the microphone rubbing on my shirt, basically. But I was first of all, do you play much in the iTunes bookstore?
I don't.
I went in there. There's a ton of cool periodicals and digital marketing and blah, blah, blah. And one is from this guy named Ed Dale. And who's the I forget Ed Dale's big. He's an Australian guy. And it's like he helps people start online businesses. And it was like Ed Dale's podcasting secret. And he was talking about how he talks into his phone and uses Auphonic. And I'm like, okay, I'm familiar with Auphonic. It's AUPHONIC.com. And they're kind of a online levelator. And what they actually do is it's a way to level out your sound. I use it for this show because on occasion, depending on who we're talking to, we get a little extra added hiss with the phone and things like that. So it actually does a little noise reduction. You can actually have it remove kind of a low hum. So if you were maybe outside or something and picking up some things. But I decided to try that and was like, you know, that's definitely listenable content. And what's interesting, and this is when I was like, okay, this is cool. You can go in there and set up an intro and an outro. So all you would do is say, you know, welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, blah, 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 and hit stop. And then Auphonic would stitch your intro. So if you had a intro that just stopped, you know, whatever it is, welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, blah, 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 bing. Then would you, here's you come in, and then you could have an outro. It's like, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more information, go to askthepodcastcoach.com, blah, 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 blah. And it would stitch those together. You tell it what kind of file format you want. So I said MP3, 64K mono. You can actually then, with the, if, for me, I have the iPhone 5. You can put in your metadata, so you can put in your album artwork. And for me, I clicked on metadata and then clicked on my microphone and just spoke it, and then Siri or whoever converted it. And that usually does a pretty good job of translating your talk. And then if you want to, and this is where I was like, all right, that's kind of cool. You can set up all sorts of places where you want it to upload. So I set it up to dial into my Libsyn account. And then I had my Libsyn account post it to askthepodcastcoach.com. So in theory, now, the more metadata you type into your MP3 file when it's on your phone, the more it will put those notes into the post. Mm-hmm. But I was like, in theory, you could basically record just talking to your phone. And, you know, if you want to put in the metadata, you can. But you basically click publish and you watch a little progress bar. And I logged into Libsyn. I'm like, there it is. Okay, cool. That part worked. I logged in to Ask the Podcast Coach, and I told it to not publish it. I said, put it on my website as a draft, because I didn't really want it on the website. It was just, you know, like, who wants to hear me go, yep, here I am talking into the phone. But I was like, that's pretty sweet. I don't know. I was interested in it. And it also ties into like Dropbox and all these other different places. Yeah, SoundCloud, Dropbox, Libsyn, Amazon S3, archive.org, Blueberry, YouTube, as well as FTP. I've never heard of WebDAV. That's a new one on me. But you could have it set up to, you know, upload it once and just post it to all these places. And I was like, all right, that's a fun little tool. I was like, all right. I like, you know, it's not in the same game as like a Boss Jock where you're mixing in sounds live.
You know, it's really just meant to record your voice. But in this case, Ed Dale, this Australian marketing guy, I think his podcast was something like Walks with Wally or something like that. And it's just him walking on the beach as he walks his dog. And he just, you know, it's just a stream of consciousness kind of podcast. And he says he hits, you know, record and hit stop and hits a button. And next thing you know, it's off and going. And in his case, he uses SoundCloud.
So it's a solution completely iPhone-based, right? I mean, you can do front to back, everything on the iPhone.
Yeah. And I'm assuming there's an Auphonic. I didn't check. Shame on me. But the one thing I did that I was worried about, that I was like, okay, I'm starting to like this Auphonic thing. I'm not a huge fan. If somebody said, I just want to level up my sound, comparing it to Levelator, you have to add in the time of uploading a file. Well, I record this as a WAV file, and uploading a WAV file to a server, it takes a while, and then it takes a while for them to do their magic to it, work their mojo. But what's cool is you do get an email that says, hey, your file's ready. But if it was a case where, like on Saturday, I've got a pretty tight schedule to do this, and publish by this time, and that doesn't fit. Now I was kind of like, all right, well, that's why I wasn't using it a whole lot. I now see where they have a desktop app. And I was like, oh, now that's interesting. Now it's not free. And that's where I was kind of like, well, good. Because this is really turning into a pretty cool service. And I don't, you know, every great company that's charged nothing eventually has, they all share the same name, which is out of business.
Right.
And it looks like it's about $80 US. They must be.
How do you spell it again?
It's Auphonic, AUPHONIC.com.
Okay, I'm checking on Android right now.
Yeah. And what's kind of cool is.
It's on Android.
Is it? And when you go in, you can. Set up what's called a new production, and they have you go in and you can tell it, you can actually put the album art right there, and they, you can have, here it is, adaptive leveler filtering. I forget which one what that actually does, but loudness and normalization is going to kind of level out that as well, and then noise and hum reduction. And so I've just been like, you know, going gangbuster. I'm like, all right, do it all and see what it sounds like. So
once you create an account, it says here you need a free Auphonic account to use our audio algorithms and encoding features. Without an account, it's just a regular audio recorder. So it does look like they'll want you to sign up. It's a free account, so you can get in there and give that a try. But it does some like processing on there for you to make that, to clean that up. That's pretty handy.
Yeah, I was like, all right, that's...
Sure, it'd be a Dropbox if you want to do it that way. They've got that integration built in.
Yeah, it's like I said, I think it's Dropbox, just about anything you can think of.
Well, they have FTP, Amazon S3, YouTube, SoundCloud, Libsyn, or archive.org. That's one we haven't talked about that I've used before.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, well, this is, you have my official attention now.
Not a bad little find, eh?
Yeah, I was like, all right. So, and that's, I went in... If we go back to the iBooks thing, there's all sorts of digital marketing. There's a WordPress kind of magazine. And I think today's the 15th, right? If not today, very, very soon, Pottertainment is a podcast digital magazine being published by the one, the only P. Dilly, better known as Gary Leland, the man behind Podcast Pickle. And I have an article in that. So, and as does Todd Cochran, as does a few other. It's an all podcasting digital magazine. And it's going to be interesting to see, because they've tried that a couple times. There used to be Podcaster Magazine. Now, that was a print version. You would sign up for the print version and you would have it mailed to your house. And I think it was once a month. But the problem is, you know, with podcasting, things change so much. So quickly and things like that. So you almost have to write evergreen content. And I forget the other one, Podcast User Magazine. Something. It's been tried twice. So I'm hoping maybe the fact that this is a digital version.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a lot of cool people. If you go to Pottertainment.com, I believe is the website.
And that's supposed to be released today?
I thought it was the 15th. I heard, I know Todd Cochran at Blueberry Raw Voice, he does the new media show as well on Saturday mornings. In fact, I think he just probably finished his up. And he was saying, he was under the assumption that it was being released on the 15th.
Okay.
So
You didn't. You talked to them at New Media Expo, right? I think I remember an interview that you did where they were talking about that.
Which show?
I can't remember. I think it was on School Podcasting. You had done it doesn't matter. I barely remember yesterday.
That's true. I'm with you on that.
So hey, I got a question from the chat room actually in Spreaker. I have been monitoring that just to kind of see if anybody comes in. So Devil's Advisor is out there. By the way, if you are on Spreaker, join us over on Mixler page. Just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/live, and the Mixler links are there to get over in the Mixler chat. He asked this interesting question. First, he says, how long have you been in the podcasting business? He says, you are in the podcasting business for a long time. So I assume that's a question. Was it more easy or simpler to podcast than compared with today than in the past, right? So it's gotten very technical today, but is it easier to podcast, Dave, today than it was, let's say, when 3 to 4 years ago? What do you think? Is it easier today or harder today?
In the last 3 years, I would say it's easier just because, you know, now we've got the Audio-Technica 2100. I haven't checked the stock today, so to see what the price is.
Yeah, no, I just bought one yesterday, $59.
Okay, see, I found them. Yeah. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/2100, $47 at Same Day Music.
Oh,
and the cool thing about Same Day Music, who may eventually be my new affiliate people, number one, if you're buying something big, they let you pay in payments with no interest. Oh. And unless you live in New Jersey, Star New Jersey, and I'm not sure how this works on a global scale, no tax. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how that works, but I would say
they must have a store in New Jersey. They must have a retail store in New Jersey.
Yeah. So that's made it easier. You know, you don't always need a mixer now if you're just flying solo and things like that.
Yeah, I think there's more services and more equipment for you. I do think, though, the expectations have changed. And so I think 3 or 4 years ago, it's so funny. I was on YouTube last night and I was checking my community, you know, on YouTube now there's a new section called community. So all your comments are now tracked in one place, which is really helpful on YouTube. So if you haven't checked that out yet, YouTube channel, look in the left-hand column, click on community, and it has unified your comments, which is nice. And someone, I had done a video, it was just a year ago, maybe a year and a half, and we're not on HD cameras, and we were live, we were using Google Hangouts at the time. But it was the early days of Hangouts. They weren't that great. The video wasn't that good.
Right.
And it's surprising. You look at that and you go, ouch, right? It was just a year ago. So in that day, the expectation was, man, if you had any kind of video, it was kind of cool.
Right.
Well, now we've upped the ante, right? I just bought 5 brand new C920s for work here that we're going to give to our host. So I'm going to get one. Our host will get one. I've been using one at home now for the last, since Christmas. And those C920s are 1080p and are really good quality. And right now they're $65 on Amazon. So, and they used to be 100. So this is one of those things that I think if you were ever going to upgrade your camera, now is the time to do it. They must be clearancing them out. I'm sure they've got a C930 coming.
Right.
But if you want to get a C920, they're super cheap. But so I bought 5 of them. We're going to use one of them to ship around to our guests I used to have low expectations for our guests too. It's like, okay, as long as you have a camera and so we started shipping a mic so we would get good audio. Now we're going to ship a mic and a camera so we get both. So I think the expectations have changed a little bit, and you no longer can get away with what you used to get away with. So while I think it's easier to do, I think the quality expectation has jumped. And no longer can you just put crap out there and will people listen to it?
Yeah, I totally agree. I remember, you know, back in the day, I listened back to my first couple of podcasts and I'm like, ugh. Because what I was doing, and I didn't realize at the time, is I was recording in an MP3 format. And then I would edit it and save it as an MP3 format. And then take those MP3s, assemble them in a software, and then export that as an MP3, not knowing that every time I was doing that, I was cutting a little off the top and bottom.
Yep. And I would copy.
Yeah, and I would listen to Adam Curry, and he was publishing at the same rate I was, and mine just sounded like, you know. And I'm like, where am I getting all this hiss? And so, but at the time, people were like, hey, cool podcast. And I'm like, I listen to that now, I'm like, that would not fly today.
No. And it's different, right? People are listening to it with earbuds and nice sound equipment, and it's making its way onto TVs. And
sure,
you know, and I just think the expectation's been raised up. So I don't think you ever get to a point where this is easy. We've talked about this has been a reoccurring theme for us when people say, well, I'm not technical. I want a podcast, but I'm not technical. There right. are technical aspects to podcasting, and you just got to bite the bullet and take some of those. You're not going to get away from it. And I think the more technical you can be, the better, you know, the better production you'll have.
Yeah. And the other thing I think, though, on the other hand, it's kind of harder to make really crappy audio these days. I mean, unless you're doing a blog talk radio or, you know, I have a client of mine that I think I finally got him talked into a couple new microphones because he was using, I think, a Yeti or a Blue Snowball. And they had like three people on a panel using one microphone. And I told him, I said, you're right on the edge of just, yeah, I'm not going to listen to this because it was just super lots yeah. and lots and lots of room noise. And I'm like, eh, I'm just, you know, you can do it however you want, but you sound like you're in a cave.
Well, I noticed you and I chatted about this via email this week. I did notice Mixler adds a little bit of nice clicking to your audio at times. That, yeah. You know, and then I went back and listened to the same exact audio on Spreaker and it wasn't there. So
it is,
you know, it's a it weird, must be Mixler. Right?
Well, actually, it's not even Mixler. It's Mixler with a Griffin iMic. Oh. I did some fairly extensive testing with them, and I actually did some tests on our you know, my settings over there, and used my for whatever reason, my built-in sound card in my Dell computer is just crap. I've never had such a bad. Now, I've had other Dell computers, but whatever's in this one, not great. A lot of hissy, a lot of just not great. And so I went over one time and connected to Mixler via going directly into my sound card, and not a click in sight. Now, I still had the crappy hissy stuff. And so I thought it was my Griffin iMic. I have actually two because I lost one at one point. Found that, pulled out the second one. I'm like, well, maybe it's this one's gone bad. And I plugged it in, and that one had the same exact problem. And I'm like, maybe it's a Griffin iMic thing. Now, you said you were, have you tried it yet? I know you were going to use it on your show.
Yes. So I did. Before I do that, hey, how do people reach us on the 800 number, Dave? Play that music.
Yes, it is. it's 888. Let's see. It should be set to come over here. 888-563-3228. That number again, 888-563-3228. Or if you're local, 440-253-9922.
And when you come in the call, Dave will put you immediately on hold. So hang tight for a second and then finish our conversation, and then Dave will invite you in. The So last week I started using both Mixler and Spreaker for my own show just to kind of give them a try. I'll be honest, I did not go back and listen to the audio on Mixler, so I don't know. I'm not paying for the Mixler service, so I don't have them. I don't save them there. I'm just using them as a live solution. I'm trying to see. So with the Gallup podcast that we do, you know, we reach 300 to 500 every week when we do that. I'm testing out Mixler to see if that's a solution. A lot of corporations block YouTube. And and so that's our primary method of getting it out, getting the podcast out. So I'm thinking of trying Mixler and Spreaker as a test for those that can't access the YouTube. But I also provide a call-in number as well. So we have a link system here that has an 800 number. I actually establish a conference call on link behind the firewall here. Then we advertise that conference call number. So it's the 800 number plus a conference PIN. And they can join in, and we're actually using our internal link system to make that work. So it works out okay. There's some trickery in that, and it's too complicated to talk about here on the show the way I make that work, but that's how we kind of get it done.
The old trickery.
Yeah, the old technology trickery.
Well, hey, let me unmute our caller.
Yeah.
And which is cool because he should hear that he or she is unmuted. So go right ahead. You're on the air.
Oh. Oh, you have ripped the duct tape from my mouth now, and I can speak. Thank you so much.
How are you?
Hey, guys, this is Rich, and I'm just calling in. I'm fine. Just calling in to say thank you. Let me go back to a couple weeks ago where, Dave, you recommended the Giant Squid Audio stereo microphone pair for interviews in the field. I got that, and it's fabulous. It's been really, really fun and good quality, so thank you for that. And then my other issue was trying to get podcasts from behind a SharePoint firewall. And because of the clues you guys gave me last week, I was able to find the iCatcher app developed by Joe Eisenhardt, I think is his name. Anyhow, I found that app within about 15 minutes of the other two Android apps that you had mentioned. I have to have something for iPhone. So I was able to use the information you gave me, and I found it. And wasn't sure that it was going to work, but Joe had his Twitter handle there, and I tweeted out to him, and he sent me a reply real fast. And I have to tell you, that's the first time in my whole life that Twitter has ever been of any help to me at all. So you gave me that, too.
Well, there you go.
So I got it and downloaded it and was able to use it and told some other folks in the company about it, and they had no problems with it. So because of your help, everything is now well. So thank you.
Well, there you go. That's cool.
Rich, yeah. Hey, let me ask you, did you try DogCatcher or BeyondPod at all, or would you be willing to try that just to see if they work? I'd love to know if those sign-in capabilities would work on either one of those apps.
Well, I don't have any Android devices, and as far as I can tell, they only run on Android. I couldn't find an iPhone.
They do. They do. Yeah, no. Well, if you get in a spot where you've got maybe somebody in your organization who does have an Android phone and they're trying to access that, I've been wondering if that login feature actually works on those apps, and I'd love to be able to recommend it. So, if you don't force it, but if you get in that situation where maybe somebody in the organization is accessing it that way and you can verify it on one of those, I'd love to be able to recommend it.
Yeah, so
Jim, I don't think I would do that for anybody else, but I'll do it for you.
Oh, thanks, Rich.
Is that the situation now? Basically, you just put in the RSS feed, it asks you for a login name and password, you put it in, and you're good to go?
Yeah, the problem is that the RSS feed is a text string that's about 3.5 miles long. So you have to set it out and put it in an email and send the email and open up email in your iPhone and, cut and paste it in.
Right.
And I have a couple of folks in the company that will find that challenging. But, I can work them through that rather than the 28 different steps I had to work them through before to get to it. So,
hey, Rich, can
you... Much better. And once they do that...
Rich, can you throw that link into a URL shortener? And give them a shortened URL as opposed to the big long string. Will that resolve correctly?
Well, isn't that a novel idea? I will try.
Yeah,
okay.
I will.
I think it does. It should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give that a try.
Yeah, I'm making a note about that.
Very cool.
I know I'm going to get asked. So let me just ask you, the URL shortener, that is not exactly a public thing. I can't imagine anyone would find that at random and plug it in. So that's got to be pretty safe.
No, and you can use the Google one, and it's specific to your account. So you can, if you log in with your Gmail or your Google Plus account and go to, I think it's just shortener.google.com. I could be wrong on that, but just Google URL shortener. And then create one, and it's actually – then it gives you an account. It doesn't broadcast that publicly, and you can share that with anybody.
I think we lost him.
Did he drop?
Yeah, I was like, that's going to be interesting.
Well, maybe he'll call back in here.
But,
well, that's cool, Dave. Wow.
That's nice. It. We actually helped somebody. That's great fun.
I was going to say that, but I was afraid that would sound sound like we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, it's like, hey – The how's that go? The squirrel found a nut or whatever? There you go.
Rich just dropped offline.
The one thing I was going to, just to give him a heads up, and you might be able to share some SharePoint knowledge on this, because if you didn't listen to that episode, Rich was trying to do a podcast, an internal podcast for his business, and his podcast needed a login name and password to access the content. So the iCatcher, I think he said, was the name of it. Will allow you to put in a
iCatcher on the iPhone.
Yeah. So my question is, what happens if an employee quits? How do you turn off their feed? That would be the next thing to think about.
Well, that username and password would be connected to an Active Directory account.
Good.
Yep. Yep. So it shut them off.
There you go. Because that was the only other thing I could think of that somebody would want to go, wait, hold on a second.
No, in fact, that'd be a great way to do a Boy, my wheels are turning here. So if you want to do your own – and okay, so I haven't tested this. I'm thinking out loud, all right? Don't hold me to this. I've said bad things before. If you – say you wanted to do a subscriber feed that mm-hmm. you wanted to provide that. And there's probably other options. Can you – does Libsyn have like a secure username where you can only stream certain people? I don't know if they do or not.
Well, they have the like the VIP thing where you pay and
but
then,
does that lock down your RSS feed so that you can only get certain feeds if you pay for it? I mean, so think about this. So say you want to do you do have premium content that you only want certain people to listen to, but you want to provide it through a standard RSS feed. You could, you know, use a service like SharePoint, and which does require a login. You could do with SharePoint, you know, you could do Office 365. Those you could create a SharePoint instance on an Azure cloud, and that might, boy, that's super techie, but you might be able to, I'll have to try, you might be able to create then an account that where you can give listeners a username for to log into your premium content on. So any super techie SharePoint folks that have maybe done something like that, I'd love to hear back from you. You can just tweet me at Jay Collison and let's get connected and see what that looks like. That might be a way of delivering premium content. Well, that's cool that worked for Rich.
Yeah, that's very, very cool.
Eyecatcher is what he said, right? I was going to see if they have an Android version of that.
Yeah. I see here in the chat room that Ryan K. Parker of foodcraftsman.com said he was talking about Spreaker. And he said one of the things he likes about Spreaker is the fact they do notify. They just send out a notification when you go live. And that is very cool. And that's another one. I mean, here today we're playing with Mixlr, and they have this new beta interface. Spreaker has a new beta interface. I've actually contacted them and said, can I play with that? Because it sounded like they were going to go to something that wasn't Flash-based, which would be really, really cool, because then you could do it on an iPad or whatever you wanted to do that way. So that's coming down the pike.
Rich does recommend Libsyn for what I was just talking about. So if you want to go that route, although if you're in a corporate enterprise and you've got SharePoint or something like that will produce some kind of username and login and present that. This is a, you know, I've always wanted to deliver company content in this way and where people could listen to meetings, pre-recorded meetings or announcements or whatever on their vehicle on the way in and not waste precious meeting time here in the office to get that stuff done. Dave, you had mentioned like a sales meeting, right? A lot of times that's just the same stuff over and over and right. over. Just have somebody record it, drop it out there, and then subscribe on a secure RSS feed.
I did have a quick question. This is an easy one, but it's kind of cool. I love the question. Ken Blanchard had written in, is that the right verb for that? Written? Wrote?
Yeah. Written in.
Wrote in something and said, hey, I'm going to start a podcast with my son. I need an easy way to get two microphones into my laptop. And I just said, well, the good old Behringer, whatever it is, Xenix 802, your typical $64 mixer kind of would work to just plug two microphones in. And then you get a little $5 cable from Radio Shack to go from the RCA out into the line in of your, I think he uses a Mac. But the cool thing I thought about that was, how cool is it to start a podcast with your son?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be something that later, you know, if we could all sing Cats in the Cradle now, you know, when he moves on and he's got his own family, he'll be able to look back at those and say, yeah, I used to podcast with my dad. Maybe he still does. Who knows? But if it ever pod fades, you've got family memories that you just cannot put a price on.
That's a great idea. Dave, you've podcasted with your spouse before.
Yes.
And you've had some varying success with that, I know. And you've been very public about that. So I'm not, you know, pulling the covers back or anything like that. But
well, here's a fun thing, just to give you a little behind the scenes. I did a show called Healing Our Marriage because my wife and I were going through some therapy to kind of get our marriage back on track. And the synopsis of it was we're always having these discussions, then somebody would say like, well, you said this, and my wife would say, well, no, I didn't, and I'm like, yeah, you did, and we're like, oh man, roll back the tape, come on, you know. And so we just started recording these, and so the good news is the ask that particular podcast actually is officially, I might put out one more episode, I keep saying we're going to do one more, but in the long run, it was weird because the focus of that, and in fact, it might actually come back. We're actually thinking about bringing it back with a new focus because we were so focused on hey, what's wrong in our marriage? Which is kind of the wrong way to approach that. Mm-hmm. Because we had like a great month. And then we're like, hey, we haven't put on an episode in a while. And it got us in this, well, let's figure out what's wrong with our marriage. And it, like at the end of that, we're like, this isn't working. It's supposed to be helping our marriage. And it's actually getting us to nitpick. And so that's what's going on with that show. And then she's also on the podcast review show. I love her because she's a I bring her on as the average non-techie listener and a female. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting is that show is going to be coming back very soon. And in Vegas, I connected with a friend of mine, Eric K. Johnson, who is the podcast talent coach, because my wife isn't always up for podcasting. She doesn't share the passion that, hey, you know, we need to do this weekly and it's Friday. It needs to come out on Monday. Let's go. She's kind of like, I'm tired. I don't want to do it. So I was like, all right, well, I just asked Eric. I said, in the event my wife doesn't want to do it one week, you know, would you like to come on and you would be a great fit? You're this, you know, he's all about creating engaging content. Well, the interesting thing is he's like, that would be awesome. And then we kind of ran with that idea, a couple different things we could do with it. And I went back to my wife and said, hey, guess what? You know, sometimes we might have another co-host. Well, this is where we never discussed. In fact, you and I have never really had this conversation of like who owns the show and what the direction and things like that. And so in her head, it was our show, which it kind of was. But in reality, I did that show solo before she came on board. And so it was a delicate little conversation we had to have, and once I finally realized, and she realized, that we'll actually be spending more time on the show, because that was her whole thing. Well, that's kind of our little time. It's our little gizmo, and I understood that concept. And so, that show actually will be coming back. We might actually be recording some today, if not definitely next week, because we've got some in the queue. We've actually had people that have ordered, hey, come review my podcast. And so we're going to try out, I think we're going to do one more with just Diane, and then we're going to bring Eric on, which will be still myself, Diane, and then Eric. And I think that'll be cool because I'll be kind of the technical side of that. Eric will be the content side. Actually, we're all going to be content. And then Diane can kind of be our just average listener female demographic. So it's interesting. There is that part when you have a co-host. You need to kind of figure out who's on first.
Yeah.
Before the money comes, especially.
Well, you and I have been doing this now for 6 months or so. Been working on this. There's no doubt you own the show, Dave. So let's be very specific about that. You know, for me, it's a privilege to be able to come on with you each Saturday and be able to do that and talk from, you know, between the two of us, I think we have about a decade of experience in podcasting.
Well, like next week, you've got a
I am out.
You are out. So, you know, it's kind of like, well, can I do the show without Jim? Is that okay? You know, it's like
we should find a guest host.
Yeah,
you know,
there you go.
You could come in and
we'll tap Ryan. He's always around anyway.
That'd be a great idea. Have Ryan Parker on the show.
There you go.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I'll be honest with podcasting. I don't get very aggressive about those kinds of things. It's just one of the deals. You know, we talked about this a little bit in pre-show, and I think this is a good reason why to have the conversation, anyways, in the sense that you and I while we've been podcasting together a lot, we have a lot of things in common. We see the world through a very similar framework. I've enjoyed podcasting with you because of that and all the stuff that we do. But we approach podcasting, the end goal is a little different from what we do. You're really making a run at making this your gig, your full-time gig. I think in a lot of ways you'd love to move in that direction. I've got a full-time gig at work, and so it's a hobby with the tech stuff, and it's work-related when I do my work podcast. And so we just approach it a little bit differently. So even with the way we do it with affiliate codes and the way we do those, we have a little bit of different motivation in that. And I think that is the point with your co-hosts or whoever you're working with, if you're working with a group. I think that's the sticky part, in that you need to, if you've got money coming in, you've got to figure out who's getting what and how. And I think the earlier you, even if you're making zero money, I think you should figure that out.
Oh, yeah.
Say, okay, if we've got money coming in, this is how we're going to divide it, because nothing will ruin a podcast like money.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, and so, you know, it's one of those kinds of things. You know, my, just as we work this out on the air here, you know, my agreement with you is this is your podcast and everything you do is yours. I'm here to support you. You know, I listened to you for a long time before we even started doing this. And I want to support the podcasting community, and you're doing a great job of building podcasters. And so for me, it's just to be able to jump on and be able to support that community. That's why I kind of do this, because I want to see people do what you're talking about. I get excited every time I hear somebody say, because of my podcast on your show, I like those segments. that are on there, and I smile every time I listen to them. So my motivation in the community is to produce podcasters. You're doing that, and I want to help you do it. So it's but that's good to have that idea in mind and for each of the hosts to kind of know. So,
yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it's a good discussion to have.
Yeah, and especially like you said, money can really make things icky. If you don't believe me, just watch a show like The Biggest Loser or Survivor or things like that. And, okay, let me mute them real quick while I finish my thought. I've checked into that. At this point, it's funny. Well, let me finish my thought, and then I'll go on Uber conference. But, yeah, it sounds weird because so many times it started by friends. You know, oh, we're just going to get together, and we're just going to hang out and chat. It'll be fun. And we don't have to worry about it. We've been friends for years. And then all of a sudden, you know, lo and behold, lightning strikes. You get huge. And now you're getting, you know, 3-4 figures, you know, of income from your podcast, and things get really weird. So if you can define that before the money comes, it's the same thing I tell that when I talk to musicians that are in bands. I'm like, look, if you guys are going to have any kind of special deal where the person that books the gig gets an extra 10% or something, you got to have that upfront in person. And I always say, I don't know, I guess you could do this with podcasting, you know, just write it out, have a page of here's what to expect and things like that. And what that enables you to do. Because some people are like, oh, it's so businesslike. But yeah, but once you have everybody on the same page, then you can get back to doing what you love, which is creating content or music or things of that nature. So it can get kind of icky. I actually have I have to go back and listen to my voicemail. Somebody contacted me and said they had a really sticky situation with a co-host. I'll have to call him back and have him come on someday. But let me unmute our caller. And what's your name and what's your question? I need to come up with a cool line.
Yeah.
What's your name and what's your question?
Hey. It's Rich again.
All right.
It's Rich again. I finally got back online. Hey, thanks again for your help. And I wanted to ask Jim, because as I was listening and trying to get the phone to work again, I think I heard him mention that he does a podcast for his day job. Is that right?
Yeah, I do. We do a podcast called Called to Coach for Gallup. So if you go to coaching.gallup.com, it's a podcast we started about 6 months ago. It's for our Gallup strengths coaches. And we reach a couple hundred live on that, and then we do a couple thousand downloads after the fact.
Cool.
Wow, that's neat.
Yeah, well, it's open to the public. So it's not one of those work podcasts like you where we have to lock it down. We just broadcast it live on YouTube.
Okay. Well, I like the idea that we have going with this podcast at my company, but it has morphed considerably once people higher in the food chain had to say grace over it. I noticed there was a great deal of paranoia and fear that seemed to come into people's voices and eyes when we talked about this, but they got past that. But one thing that I noticed that I wanted to pass on because I find it relevant is that when it was finally released not too long ago, it was released as an official organ of company communication. And it was released by someone pretty high up in the organization. And so I noticed that the people who it is targeted for kind of took that as, oh, crap, here's something else that we've got to do now. We've got to listen to this corporate drivel. Whereas the genesis of it was to have kind of a low-level guy-to-guy conversation about what we do every day and listen to the different voices of all our associates that we never see and rarely hear. You know, and just kind of build a sense of community. So just the simple fact of having it released in the way that it was seemed to put a damper on it. And so put that in your back pocket and recommend to anybody else trying to do this that it comes out as a low-level, almost Skunk Works kind of thing. I think it would get received better.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. When we started Call to Coach, it also was met with some corporate kind of, I mean, I had a lot of meetings in advance of, okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to control it? There was some angst about the chat room and, you know, would there be profanity in there and would people post things they shouldn't post? And I mean, those things, when you talk about an enterprise podcast or doing it for work, those are things you absolutely have to think about. You know, over at theaverageguy.tv, I control all of that. And if somebody drops a swear word, I can just ban them right out of the chat room or whatever we want to do. I control it. But in the corporate setting, you know, you've got some officers who are responsible for the company who need to have some oversight as to what's going on. So that is important, and you got to work all those things through. But Rich, I think you're exactly right in the sense that if you're going to do a public-facing podcast, or what I like to call now social marketing, right? If you're going to create a podcast for your product, or you're going to create it for your service, or for your consulting, or whatever you're doing, I think the more low-level, as using your words, or folksy is a word I like to use, where it doesn't seem like marketing, it just seems like a conversation, I think the more you can do that, the better it will be received. So that's I appreciate your insight on that as well, Rich. I think that's a good point.
And of course, maybe we're just doomed. That
Did
was
Rich drop off. Yeah. Again? Well, maybe it was a good time to end the call anyways.
And then maybe he's
now
back.
He's back.
back.
Give us a little insight. What's going on there? Is that you or is that you're just getting dropped?
I'm just getting dropped. I've got plenty of signal here. I thought that it was the signal before, but I don't think it was. I think it was some other crap going on. But anyhow, I think it's just whatever service we've got is dropping it.
Okay. So, well, at least I'm paying less for calls that are being
NSA
dropped.
NSA trying to help. I don't know.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Did you hear?
Rich, did you hear what I? Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, Rich.
Yeah, I got most of it. And
okay, good.
Your turn. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to make sure previously, the first time you got dropped, we had determined that the great thing is that if somebody leaves the company, because they have a login name and password, you don't have to worry about them accessing your content anymore. You turn off that login name and password, you've turned off their podcast. So if that ever comes up in a meeting, because somebody's going to eventually figure that out, what happens? Ooh, we just canned Earl, and Earl has a login name and password. Well, just turn it off, and he can't access the podcast anymore. That's the cool thing about it being secure.
Yep.
Well, good. Rich,
you're
Rich,
right, next question. We'll come up.
Rich, thanks for calling in and putting up with the phone deal today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for doing this, guys. I appreciate it. I'll be back in touch. Bye
right.
now.
Thanks, Rich.
Yeah, I one of the podcasts I produce is for a company called Crazy Egg. I wish I could turn that off.
Well, at least you know when they're coming and when they're
that's
going.
That's true. We don't have any questions about that. It's for a company called Crazy Egg. They make this heat mapping software. And then somebody's back. Hold on a quick second while I finish my thought. And so it's interesting because I get to read marketing, this really top-notch marketing stuff. And the thing I see over and over about, you know, conversion process, and like I was doing an episode today about using testimonials and things like that, over and over and over, nobody likes to be sold to. You know, that's why it's always amazing when you hear that this Sunday, you know, car ads are hideous. I'm always amazed. And of course, you hear them all the time if you turn on your radio in the car because you are their target audience. But it's always amazing on how hard people sell. And it's like, ugh, you know, I'm not sure how I would sell cars otherwise. But if your podcast is going to be just jamming your stuff down somebody's throat, that's not going to go over very well. So let me unmute our caller. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Dave. Hey, Jim.
Hey.
It's Kathy from Special Mouth.
How are you?
How are you doing today? Good, good. Well, you know, I'm all about the social, so I want to hear about podcast movement. Dave, you're going to be a
podcast.
You're there?
Yeah, podcast movement is from the birth of. From what I hear, they were just on, if you listen to the New Media Show, that's a really great podcast with Todd Cochran and Rob Greenlee, now from one, what's the place he moved to? He used to be from Microsoft, but he's part of a big podcasting network now. Anyway, and they interviewed the guys from this convention, and we're like, New Media Expo, and this is nothing against New Media Expo, but they have things there about, you know, social media and blogging and things of this. This is a podcast event. This is, you know, everything will be podcasting.
Right,
so, yeah.
Right.
So it's in Dallas. It's in or it's in Texas, and it's in August. It's over the weekend, and that's what got me. I wasn't sure if I was going to go because I'm like, I'll have to see if I can get work off. And then I looked at the dates. I'm like, this is over the weekend. I'm like, well, that's cool. I can just take a Friday and a Monday off, and it should be fine. But yeah, podcast. Is it Podcast Movement? I should know this. I just basically signed on as a speaker.
Podcast Movement.
And I believe they have a Kickstarter campaign going to help, 95 backers. They've raised $15,000 so far. And
Yeah, so it's basically...
Where is it at, Dave?
Podcastmovement.com.
Okay.
And...
You know, they've got a podcast about planning the conference.
Oh, very cool.
They've put out 3 episodes already. So it's really cool. It's like a behind the scenes. They're starting already with like the why and the how and the where and all that. And so as they're creating and planning for this conference, they're podcasting about it, which I think is really cool.
But yeah, Todd Cochran, John Lee Dumas, Eric Fisher, Rob Greenlee, Podcast One, Vanessa and Daniel Hayes. Some guy named Dave Jackson. And yes, Kathy, I do need to change my headshot. Jessica Comfortman, Daniel J. Lewis, my buddy Tim Page, Chase Reeves.
Yeah, Dave, you're like 14 in that picture.
I am. Cynthia Sanchez, Jeffrey Powers, which is cool. Mark Mason, I want to meet. Gary Leland, Ben Kruger, who's been on my show. Greg Hickman. See, this is what's cool. Some of these people I don't know. Dave Hamilton, Dan Franks, easy for me to say. Jared Easley, Daryl Darnell, and Jeff Brown. And so far, keynotes are, help me with that one, Srinivas Rao? Sure. Jamie Tardy from The Eventual Millionaire, and Evo Terra, who wrote Podcasting for Dummies and is also the guy behind Podio Books. Really
kind of
cool
awkward, Dave. Nobody asked me. I'm just saying.
Rob Walsh is also there. I skipped his name. A couple other ones here. Yeah, doggone it. What the heck?
That's all right.
But
I may go,
what are you Dave, what are you speaking on?
I have not decided yet. They just said, would you like to speak? So I'm going to kind of, I figure I got till August to figure it out. I have a couple things in mind. I thought of assembling all the Because of My Podcast stories and kind of doing a Power of Podcasting type presentation. What would you like to hear?
That would be fun. Okay. Well, that would be fun.
You know, there's that.
You got to put something in there. You got to put something in there for us non-techie people. Because the tech part is great, but some of us podcasters who are really focused on the content, the promotion, that end, I think we're very top heavy with a lot of tech,
right?
At these conferences, and of course the whole entrepreneur thing, which I'm not into at all. So I love the stuff that focuses on content.
Yeah. And there we go. And then
well,
she was
Kathy,
gone.
Thanks for calling.
Right.
Maybe there's like a time limit there and it's like, okay, you're done.
You know, then maybe that's it. Cause it's just weird that it just bling. The one thing I heard on the new media show, and I believe it's just at newmediashow.com, when they were talking to the guys organizing this, is one of the things you will not find is they realized that the back in the day, the early days of podcasting, when they was in California, not in Las Vegas, we had great post conference meetups. You would go, somebody would throw a party, and there wouldn't be, it's a novel idea, there would not be loud pumping music. Because the thing that's so stupid about that I never get is the fact that the people at these parties are your speakers. And they're going, so tell me about your podcast. Oh, yeah. No, I'm school about you. And by the end of the night, you're like, you sound like, I don't know, Lucille Ball or Louis Armstrong.
Got no voice left, right.
And I'm like, so I forget, Daniel J. Lewis and myself from the audacitypodcast.com went to this sanctioned after hours thing. And it was on like floor 900 billion, you know, and we go up there and it was really cool because you could see the city. But they just had the whole. And I'm like, OK. And we just said, all right, well, we're not staying here. You know, because we would have literally just blown out our voice trying to talk over that. So that was the one thing I really, really liked. They're looking to make it what Todd said. Todd's advice was make it like the world's biggest family reunion, because really the first couple podcasts, whatever they were, New Media Expos back then, it was a big family reunion. And the families just got a lot bigger now. But typically families do.
Dave, they almost get too big. You know, conferences have kind of a life cycle, and I've done quite a few of them, and I've done large ones and small ones, and they have a little bit of a life cycle, and you get to a breaking point, I think, where they get too big, where they can't be a big family reunion anymore, and then money comes in because they take money to put on, and then once you get money, you got to get sponsors, and then you end up with maybe your situation that they had at New Media Expo this year with the sponsor. It's tough business, and it's especially now. I think as podcasting has gotten really popular, it's harder to not get it so marketing driven, or you know, there's some resentment from the podcasters that didn't get invited. Not that I'm, you know, not right. that I have any of that resentment because nobody contacted me. I'm just kidding. I don't really care. I'm busy and I've got a lot of things to do. But that being said, I'd speak with you if you asked me to come down. So it's tough. It's a tough deal. Conferences are hard to do, and maybe they need to be. Maybe we need to think more about podcasting meetups as opposed to having these big conferences in Vegas. So we just talked about this on my show on Thursday of breaking down our community into East Coast, Midwest, West Coast, and start doing. You know, we had a great meetup last summer. We had 75 guys there. And it was awesome, right? That was we got together for a day. We got to tear equipment apart. We got really techie. It's a very nerdy conference. But it was one of those kinds of things where it was so worth the travel and so worth the time to go there and spend time with these guys. And I got a lot of one-on-one time with guys, which was awesome. So I prefer those kinds of deals. And maybe we need to think about doing some more regional stuff with podcasting where we do. That's what we're doing at Gallup, to be honest. I'm breaking, you know, we've got this big national show, and it's actually global at this point, but I am working hard and developing these meetup communities in Dallas, in Sacramento, in some of these areas where the groups get together and it's smaller and it's regional. You don't have to spend a bunch of money, you know, to get it done. So there are some ways to, even when it gets bigger, to make them smaller. And a lot of the stuff you hear, I think, at some of these conferences, it's all been said and it's all available online. You can, I mean, you can go hear Dumas talk. You can, I mean, he is everywhere.
Yeah,
you don't have to go to a conference. He says the same things at the conference.
Right.
You know? Hey, real quick, one of the guys asked, you know, we're only audio still, and some folks have said they'd really like the video. And just as a side note, you know, Dave and I have been working on the audio. We've got the video stuff going. We see our video. I know you guys don't see it yet.
But right.
That's something I think we're working on summer and fall. And so just hang tight. It's coming.
First week, because my whole thing is I've always wanted to be a call-in show, and I think eventually I will just give up on that idea as we go through like another system that drops people, and we're just trying to find a way to bring people in that way. But also, John mentioned, are the speakers getting paid? I've never been paid to go to speak at New Media Expo. I do it for the exposure.
Yeah, get free. Free conference.
I have been paid to speak at conferences, just not that one. And I have no idea if I'm being paid at this one. They just, my buddy Gary Leland said, hey, you know, I would really like you to, you know, what are you doing in August? And so I'm like, oh, well, Gary, if you're asking me, I'm there, buddy. And then he explained what it was. And I was like, okay. So, and I saw what the date was. So if I'm getting paid, that would be awesome. That is a great gig. When you get, you know, hey, we're putting you up in a hotel. If you can just get here, a lot of times that's it. If you can get here, we'll put you up in a hotel. We'll give you a, you know, a couple $100 or whatever. And there are some people that are making insane amounts of money speaking, like five figures, that I'm like, really, for like one speech? And I'm like, I got to get me some of that pie. But at this point, as far as I know, I'm not getting paid. But for me, the networking is really where I get paid there. Networking with people and finding other opportunities and things like that.
It's great exposure. I think you've talked about that a lot, in that if you want to expand your podcast, a conference is a great way to do it. And you get especially podcasting about podcasting, right? That's one of those things that you do, and that's a great way to do it. There's been a lot of chat about local meetups. I'll just say, if you're in the Omaha area or even close, I have been thinking about doing an Omaha podcasters group. Just haven't got it put together yet.
But that's
me. Listening to this. And would love to put one together in Omaha. It does sound like there are some going on around the country. You might want to check meetup.com to see if there are already some meetups. We have a really avid WordPress meetup group here in Omaha, and I've tried to attend. Unfortunately, it's on the evenings I do my podcast, so it's hard for me to go. But you might want to check meetup.com and see if you can get local before you spend a whole bunch of money on a national conference on things you might have already heard.
Well, I went to a WordPress meetup. And one of the guys, I forget his name, Jeff something from WP Tavern, help me, Marcus. Actually, this is like in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. It's like a suburb of Cleveland, of Akron, Ohio. And here's one of the guys that basically works for Automattic. And I was like, wow, what are you doing here? You know, so you never know who's going to meet. There were only like seven people at that. And Jeff Chandler, thank you. And, you know, so there he was. And so you never know who's going to meet there. But yeah, there's no like podcasting meetup in Cleveland. And I've actually gone to meetup.com. I think it's $20 a month if you're going to be the host. And And I'm like, you know, I need to do that just to make it happen and, you know, network with some other people's, because you never know unless you try.
Yeah.
And they're free, for sure. You know, so.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Guess what time it is?
It is that time. I know. I was looking at the clock. I'm like, man, it went fast.
But, good stuff today. Thanks for everybody who called in.
Yes.
Kathy and
Rich.
Rich, thank you.
And we will miss you next week. Don't.
2 weeks. I was telling you before, 25th wedding anniversary the week after, so I will be out. And we'll be back. I'll see you in 3 weeks, guys. I love this show, and I'm looking forward to coming back and seeing you in a couple weeks.
There you go. And, of course, you can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. And you can find us here every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. I was told I need to start saying time zones more often. And 10:30 to 11:30. And you can always find us at schoolofpodcasting.com/live. And that's where the chat room is. We are on other places. We're also on schoolofpodcasting.fm. And we're broadcasting any place we can broadcast at this point. But I do appreciate everybody there. If you do get a chance, find us in iTunes. I believe if you go to askthepodcastcoach.com/iTunes, that'll take you right there. Write us a review. We've got a couple nice ones going there, so we'd love to keep that string going. And appreciate everybody calling in. And we'll see you again next Saturday with Ask the Podcast Coach.